The title of the message this morning is God Wants Children. Start out in Genesis 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth." So we see here God said, "Let us," speaking of Him and Jesus Christ, "let us," the one who became Christ, rather, "let us make man in our image after our likeness." And that image means resemblance or a representative figure. So we, in a physical form, we look like God, but we're of flesh, we're not of spirit. In John, the 14th chapter, John 14, and we'll start out in verse 8. It says, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have I been with you so long a time, and you have not known me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. Why then did you say, show us the Father?'" So he plainly says that he, Christ, in the physical, fleshly form, was like the image of God the Father, only in the physical form that he came in. Now we know that all the animals produce after their kind, but man reproduces after his kind. He is made in the image or resemblance of God, but character-wise, we are not. And that is because of the choice of Adam and Eve. However, we know that God devised a plan from the foundation of the earth that he would send his Son to become the sacrifice for our sins, in order that we could be forgiven and that we could build godly character. Now, we already resemble God in a fleshly form, but God wants us to be like him in character form as well. So the goal of God the Father and Jesus Christ is to have children, children like them in a spiritual form. In Revelation, we see the form of Christ, as John writes, that proves we are made in his image and likeness. So let's go to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation 1, and we'll look at verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment reaching to his feet, and girt about the chest with a golden breastplate. And his head and his hair were like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass as they glowed in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he had seven stars, and a sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth, and his countenance was as the sun in its full strength." So we see, the number one, he wears a garment down to his foot, showing he has feet, that he has a chest, that he has a head and hair and eyes, that he has feet, and he had a voice, that a big voice like a lot of just running waters, voice sound of many running waters, like going over water over the Niagara Falls or some of the giant falls of the earth or the sea as it comes into the shoreline, and big, heavy waves when the wind is up. So he has hands, it says, and he also has a mouth. So we see that, yes, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And when he became in the flesh, he referred to himself as the Son of Man and also as the Son of God. So I'd like to look now at some scriptures where he calls himself, refers to himself as the Son of Man. So let's go to Daniel, the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel 7. And verse 13. "And I saw visions in the night, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven." So he's referred to here as like the Son of Man. coming in the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancients of Days, and they brought him near before him. And dominion and power and glory was given to him, and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we know that Christ referred to himself in many places, we'll see, as the Son of Man. And he likes to go back, as one reference mentioned, to Daniel here, where the first place, I think, that it's mentioned. So we see Jesus Christ referring to himself this way in the Gospels. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, and verse 20. Then Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So Christ here is referring to himself as the Son of Man, and he says, I don't have any permanent, basically, place to dwell here, as he's talking about, because he was traveling around. Looking in into chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 6. But I say these words so that you may understand that the Son of Man, again mentioned, has authority on the earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Again, referring to himself as the Son of Man. And that he had the power, or has the power, to forgive sin and to heal. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, escape unto another. For truly I say to you, in no way shall you have completed witnessing to the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. Then going on to Matthew, the 11th chapter, Matthew 11, and verse 19, says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man who is a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children." So again, referring to the Son of Man, he says, well, he comes eating and drinking. He's a glutton and a winebibber. Going on into chapter 12 then, in verse 8, says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." One of the proofs that we give that the Sabbath day is still in effect, because Christ said that he is Lord of the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And then in chapter 16 of Matthew, Matthew 16 and verse 27, says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall judge or render to everyone according to his doings." So we see that Jesus Christ, again, referring to himself as the Son of Man, shall come in the glory of his Father, a glorified appearance. So, he is called the Son of Man because he was born of a woman. And these are just a few scriptures. And there are many, many more scriptures if you want to take a concordance and look them up. He also was referred to as the Son of God, which he was. Going back to, again, staying in Matthew and going to Matthew 3. Matthew 3 and verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven said, This is my Son." This is God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have great delight." And then Matthew 4, verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." So Satan is casting a question to him there. If you are the Son of God. So Satan knew who Jesus Christ was. In verse 6, "And he said to him," that is Christ to Satan, "if you are," and he said to him, if, rather Satan speaking here, "if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against the stone." So Satan knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew that he was the Son of God. And then in Matthew, the 8th chapter, Matthew 8 and verse 29. Matthew 8, 29. And they cried out at once, saying, What do you have to do with us, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time? We see here the demons speaking to Christ, and they knew who he was. They knew he was the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 14, Matthew the 14th chapter, Matthew 14 and verse 33. And those in the ship came and they worshipped him, saying, "You are truly the Son of God." So his disciples knew who he was by the things that he did. Even Peter said, Christ asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Holy One, coming from God." So his disciples knew he was the Son of God. And then going into Acts, Acts the 8th chapter and verse 37, story here is said, "This is the Moses who said to the children of Israel, 'A prophet the Lord your God shall raise up for you from among your brethren like me, him shall you hear.'" So in Acts, it should be Acts 8:37. I'm in 7:37. So Acts 8:37. Here's the story of the eunuch, and these. We know that he's reading in the book of Isaiah, and Philip goes up to him and he says, "What are you reading?" And then he tells him and he asks this question of Philip. So Philip is there to give him the answer. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, it is permitted." Then he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So Philip was going, talking to him about baptism, and verse 36, "And as they were going down the road, they came into a certain pool of water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there is much water. What is preventing me from being baptized?'" So again, that's one of the scriptures we use in the baptism counseling, and also in the book of showing that there was a lot of water there. So he wasn't just dipped or sprinkled. He was completely submerged in water, immersed, so he came back up out of it. But Peter is saying here and asking him the question, if you believe that Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 37, he said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So in John, the first chapter, the book of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Says, "All things came into being through him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without him." So we see that Jesus Christ was the Word, he was with God, and all things were created and made by him. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh, and he tabernacled among us, and we ourselves beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth." So John is saying he tabernacled, he lived with us here in the flesh. So he was the Word of God. All things were made by him. He became flesh and he dwelt among men. In Luke, the first chapter, Luke 1, we see the conception of Jesus Christ. Luke 1, starting out in verse 30. "Then the angel said to her," that is, "'Do not be afraid, Mary,'" as he was speaking to Mary, "'because you have found grace with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his forefather. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, and his kingdom, of his kingdom there shall be no end. So he shall be called Son of the Highest, or Son of the Most High God. So it tells of Mary's conception and how it occurred. So Christ was the only human who was begotten by God. The Most High God became his father. We all have physical mothers and fathers. But Christ was born of a woman, but God, the Most High God, the Father, became his father. Now, we don't understand how that all can be. It takes place. That is spiritual understanding, that, and we are physical. It's hard to comprehend these things because we only know on a physical level. But it, as the script, one scripture says, isn't it impossible for God to do anything? So God, in his great knowledge and wisdom, and Christ as well, one became the Father and Christ became the Son and was born of a woman, so that he was called a Son of Man. Also, he was called the Son of God. So Christ had to come and fulfill this portion of prophecy in order for us to someday be God's children in a spiritual form. And that is God's desire, desire of God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, as that who is the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn, it says, meaning there will be more, that we become his children, not only just in this flesh, we're children of God, but someday ultimately to become spirit as he is spirit and born into the very God family as his spiritual children. In Job, the 14th chapter, and starting out verse 14, these are scriptures we read at funeral services, but here we'll see something that again shows that God wants children. He asked the question in verse 14 of Job 14, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait until my change come." So Job knew that there would come a time that he would be changed. He knew about the promise of God and becoming a child of God, not just in the flesh, but he's waiting for a change to come where he would no longer be flesh, where he wouldn't be going through the hard times and the hard service that he had been going through. Verse 15, it says, "You shall call, and I will answer you. You have the desire," or "you have the desire for the work of your hands." So God has a desire for the work of his hands. It's not just to create man upon the earth and man die and that be it. But God has a desire there. And don't you think that God the Father was excited when Christ was born? The process that they had planned together was an action to bring those children into the God family. As we were all excited when our children were born, especially our firstborn, that and all of them, then remainder of our children, how many that we had or have, we were excited about that. So you can think of how excited God the Father was when Christ was actually born of Mary, that the beginning phase of their plan for all of mankind to become children in their family, it was very exciting. The angels, I'm sure, were excited. They were excited when they appeared to the shepherds and telling them about the birth of Christ. So God was very excited about the very birth of Jesus Christ and the beginning of that plan to bring all his children, or giving them an opportunity at one time or another to become very, not only begotten, but born into the very God family through a change, as Paul talks about in the resurrection from flesh to spirit. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, in Isaiah, the 29th chapter, and verse 22, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now become pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands, In his midst they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. Those who erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and those who murmured shall learn instructed. So God goes and talks about when he sees the work of his hands. He talks about the children of Jacob, that they will hallow his name. In Isaiah, the 45th chapter, Isaiah 45 and verse 10, says, "Woe to him who says to his father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to the woman, 'What are you laboring over or about to bring forth?' Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, says, 'Ask of me things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands.'" So God says, "Ask me of things concerning my son." He said, "I have made the earth." In verse 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, with my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." So God said, He created man upon the earth. He created the heavens. He created for us here a dwelling place. In John, the 3rd chapter, before we go, actually, and it's 1 John, not John, let's go to Isaiah 64 and verse 8. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand." So God is the one who forms us. It says, He is our Father. We are clay. We're moldable, should be moldable and pliable in His hands. He is the master potter, and He's going to turn out this piece of work, molding, shaping, forming, to someday become His children in the spirit, not just in the flesh, but children into His divine family. Now let's go to 1 John 3 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and we are, if we're begotten of God, and He has put His Spirit within us," which comes through a calling, a repentance, and baptism, and then God granting His Holy Spirit to us after those things have been accomplished. It says, "We are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is manifested, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him exactly as He is. So as the born children of God, from flesh to spirit, we'll be able to see Christ as He is in the glorified form, also see God the Father. All the others that have been resurrected, all the way from going back to the prophets, to Noah, to be able to see the apostles, and all those it's mentioned as it talks about those, the faithful, it's in Hebrews 11. So it says, now we are the children of God, begotten in this physical form, not yet born yet, but said we shall see Him as He is when we are born into His very family. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. Says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know exactly as I have been known." So Paul is saying that we see through a glass dimly, like times when you take a bath or shower, and if you have a ceiling fan on there and in there, and you don't turn it on, you get up and you come out, and here the mirror is all fogged up, or mirrors. So you have to wipe them off. You kind of look through there, you can't see yourself. You have to wipe them off. So that's what God is going to do once we become His sons in the Spirit. That fogginess, that cloudiness is going to be ripped away. And Paul is saying, we shall see Him then face to face, because we shall be exactly in a form like He is, and to see Him as He is. Now in Numbers, the 12th chapter, we'll see how that God looked toward Moses, and what opinion, or how highly He respected Moses and loved Moses. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, Numbers 12, and starting out in verse 6. Numbers 12 and verse 6. And He said, "Hear now My words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make Myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. But it's not so with My servant Moses. He is faithful in all My house. I will speak to him mouth to mouth, even clearly, and not in dark speeches, and he shall behold the likeness of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against My servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So this is a situation with Miriam and Aaron, where that they were speaking out against Moses, and God heard them, and He didn't like that. It showed what kind of respect, how much He loved Moses, and He told him plainly that usually when I'm speaking to a prophet, I will do it in a dream or a vision. But He said, not so with Moses, that I'm going to appear to him not in dark saying or riddles, but I'm going to speak to him, not God in His glorified form, of course. We know that Moses did want to see God, and he allowed to see His backside glorified, but not His face, because no one can look upon God's face and live. So He said, I will appear to Moses in an unglorified form, which He did, and I will speak to him face to face. So someday we know that we will be able to speak to Jesus Christ in a spiritual form, face to face, in God the Father. And also, as Christ showed, He had the ability to come back to the apostles in a physical-like form, and even to eat with them and to drink. And so that's going to be a great time, and that's what our hope is and our goal, and that's what God wants. It's for be able to be His children in a glorified form. But until then, we know there's a process we have to go through. And that is, we have to be building God's character. And that is through keeping His laws and His commandments. And to learn to grow in love for one another, which is a hard thing to do. And to put off the sins of the flesh, and put out the sins that come into the mind through the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we are, if we're obeying God and striving to keep His laws and commandments, we are changing the old self, becoming in our thinking on a spiritual realm rather than on a physical realm or plane. So as John wrote for us, and all whom God the Father calls and they accept that calling, we are told today that someday, rather, we will see God the Father and Christ face to face, and we will be like Him in a glorified form after our change in the resurrection. In Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews 2, and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and He was crowned with glory and honor on account of His suffering the death, in order that by the grace of God He Himself might taste death for everyone. Because it was fitting for Him for whom all things were created, and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons, we see here, many sons into glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who is sanctifying and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's the whole purpose of His coming. That's the whole purpose of His becoming flesh, becoming an atoning sacrifice for us, a propitiation for our sins, that many brethren could be born. And he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So Christ came and he suffered and died for all of mankind in order to bring many sons into glory. In conclusion here, I'd like to read a statement from Paul admonishing us and encouraging us in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, let's go to chapter 5 and start out in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, to acknowledge those who are laboring among you and are overseeing you and are instructing you in the Lord, and to greatly respect them in love for the sake of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we encourage you, brethren, to admonish those who are irresponsible, console the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward everyone. See that you render evil, not evil, that you don't render evil for evil to anyone, but always be pursuing what is good, both toward one another and toward all men. Rejoice always, pray unceasingly, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. And quench not the Spirit, and despise not prophecies, prove all things, and then hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of wickedness." So anything that looks like wickedness, it says, abstain from that, cast out those thoughts. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may you your entire spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you," the one that has called us, "who also will perform it. Brethren, pray for us and greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So he tells us to remember those who labor among you and to warn them that are unruly and to comfort those that are faint-hearted. And not to render evil for evil, but to rejoice and pray without ceasing. And to prove all things, just as the Bereans did, and hold fast then to what is good. And it says, abstain from every form of wickedness, that your spirit, whole spirit, and body and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, faithful is he that called you, who will also perform it in us. So he said, who will also do it? Well, what's he going to do? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So what is he going to do? He's going to then complete the work of making us his children. And as this one scripture says, it says, "The eye has not seen, or the ear heard, the things that God has in store for his children." So God has created this earth. He created us to live upon it. He created us physical. But his desire is that we become spiritual like him and build the very character of him and Jesus Christ. And that is the work he's doing in us through the power of his great Holy Spirit, if we allow him, that someday we can be his very children and to see him face to face, God the Father and Jesus Christ, and to live eternally as children, sons, and daughters of the great God.